lifelong meditator, really starting her practice when she was a teenager, and has been practicing in the Theravadin tradition since 2009. She's a graduate of the East Bay Meditation Center's Commit to Dharma study program, as well as the Spirit Rock Meditation Center's Community Dharma Leadership Program, which is a multi-year program. She teaches at the East Bay Meditation Center in Oakland. She's been very involved in teaching youth and teens, and also in the prison system with the Stop the Violence, Resolve to Stop the Violence program, which is an award-winning program in the SF County Jail system, utilizing contemplative and restorative practices to impact violence and recidivism in the prisons. She also co-leads Spirit Rock's Monday night community welcome group for new practitioners and beginning meditators. And of course, she's our core teacher for, this is her second year with us, and welcome, Siren.
Thank you so much, Carl. I always appreciate that kind introduction. And I'm so happy to see all of you. You know, it's been months since I've been here. I think just the normal, I think in November, it may have been that I missed November because of some other issue. And then I took December and January. I would have been here late January, but it was a holiday. And so here I am. It's been like 4 months, I think, November, December, January, and most of February. So hello. We've had a lot of change and transition since last I spoke here. I have been working a lot with things have been wonkity wonk, as everybody knows, and it seems like everything I try to do is just arduous. You know, it's just like everything, like this year, my driver's license and my passport expired at the same time. And so try to get your passport renewed during COVID. And also my driver's license, that was just so arduous. And I still don't have it. You know, everything went wonkity wonk with it. I never received it. And now there's a whole process I have to go to because you can't renew it. It's already been renewed. So they have to do something special to try to mail it to me again. Many things, you know. Moving out here, I'm originally from the Bay Area. I spent my life in the Bay, and I just moved north last, actually it's been 2 years now, it's so crazy. But moving out here, you know, resources are a little bit different. I'm out in Northern California, you know, not in the urban areas. And even something as simple that we take for granted as Wi-Fi or internet. you know, this is such a struggle. And so I've learned patience, you know, through this. It's just really been putting my patience to practice. And, you know, where I do have to wait sometimes, you know, 20, 30 seconds for a page to load, that's real. Sometimes it's moody, it's cloudy. And that's the service that we have out here. You know, everything from, it took 6 months to, when I just refinanced my mortgage loan, and it took 6 months. It's typically 130-day, maybe 45-day process. It took 6 months because of COVID. My sister got me a gift certificate for Home Depot, and I bought a shed for my house, and it never arrived. It's just like everything. It's patience. I know, it's just been so insane. I could go on and on and on to where I'm just, wow, you know. So I thought that I would talk about patience tonight. And patience is one of the paramis, one of the 10 paramis qualities of character that we develop, that we strive to protect, perfect, or bring into perfection, as the Buddha did. And so the Pali word is Kanti. It's K-H-A-N-T-I, Pali, being the ancient language of the Buddha, Kanti. And it means unaffected by, or able to withstand, or it could be translated as tolerance or endurance or composure, forbearance, patience. So it's said to practice the parami of patience is to accept all that happens with equanimity. And understanding that whatever happens, whatever arises in our lives, challenges, difficulties, whatever happens, it's a part of our spiritual path. It's a part of our unfolding, our development. And that Kanti helps us to endure the hardships of our own lives, as well as the tribulations, the suffering of the world around us. I was looking at what Gil Fronsdale says. He's one of my teachers, and he says there's three kinds of patience, and I'll read you on what they are. So there's to be with in a skillful way. Patience, he says. The first kind is a gentle perseverance. Sort of like how we, like with our practice as we meditate, we don't get instant results. Sometimes we do. We sit down and we have a wonderful sit, or, but it's taken patience, to continue practicing, to continue coming back to the cushion, to continue noticing in the moment, our reactions, our responses. And it's that gentle perseverance of knowing that, our practice is sinking in, on a cellular level somehow. And, and it is, it really is, but it's that type of perseverance. He says that is the first kind of patience. And the second kind is not succumbing to intense emotions. So mindful of our reactivity and our responses. So developing a wiser and more healthful relationship to difficulty. And so that type of patience, I get a lot of that type of practice with my partner here at home. And just learning to be patient with myself. My partner is very good. She's very patient with me. At times I can be very difficult to be with. And so we are, we're helping to forge each other, forging that patience in our humanity. And the third type that he describes is acceptance of truth. So a willingness to open to the truth of what's here in each moment. That patience, this too shall pass. Everything eventually passes away. And so can we open to and just accept the experiences come before us as a part of our path. And so I'll read you a quote from Gil, and he says, I like this. He says that sometimes patients, or sometimes people find patients by changing their point of reference for understanding a challenging situation. Our understanding is often self-centered. Other perspectives may be equally, if not more, appropriate. And he gives an example, and I like this. He says, during the civil rights movement, for example, many people endured a tremendous amount of physical, mental, emotional insult. By understanding its role in a larger context than their own individual suffering. So removing the I, removing the ego, just changing the perspective, you know, taking the I out of it. You know, and understanding that this is a deeper trauma. So in that example, you know, this is a deeper trauma that we are holding, and it's not hatred directed at me, you know? And so sometimes it can help just to change that perspective and how we're holding something that can open up the availability, you know, to have patience become accessible to us. Looking at the larger context of things, or even, you know, looking with a bit of compassion at a difficult situation or a difficult person. The Buddha once said that patience is the supreme purification practice. The supreme purification practice. I have a little story I want to share with you. Back before I got real serious about my Vipassana practice many, many years ago, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm so small or whatever, and I've always had to sort of, defend myself or make myself bigger, you know, to get by in some situations. But for some reason, as a young person, I was very impatient on the road and in my car. And I just had a difficult time with aggressive drivers. You know, I hate to use the term, but I had road rage. We'll call it road rage. But I was just very impatient with people. And if I felt people weren't behaving in the right way, you know, I didn't hesitate to honk my horn. I didn't hesitate to drive up to somebody and tell them what I thought. Sometimes I jumped out of my car. I would jump out of my car and people would be afraid of me. And I just felt like people would trespass in their vehicle, but they wouldn't do that if they were face to face with me. And I just felt so offended sometimes that I just dared people to come face to face with me and do that, say what you just said or do what you just did. And that's just how I was. Very impatient. But as I got more serious about my practice, my sangha, I had a regular sangha and teachers, and I really wanted to develop, you know, and to be, I didn't want to be a hypocrite, you know, I wanted to be authentic in my practice. And I really tried. And so I made it sort of a commitment with myself to not to act on these intense emotions that would arise for me. And so when I first made this intention, the emotions would come, you know, somebody would do something erratic, would upset me, and I would see the emotions come in my body, I would feel them, and I would recognize that commitment that I made, and I would just do it anyway. Just throw it out the window, I'm just gonna act on this impulse. And I would do that, I did that for you know, several events, several times. And one day something happened, something or other, and I felt the intense emotions arising and I just let it go. And then I was able to watch, you know, this other person act like a lunatic and just sort of sit back and wow, you know, I'm so glad that's not me. And now it's like that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we can watch the world sort of rush around us and, all of these you know, difficulties and whatever it is that's arising. It's a natural process. Patience is kind of an effortless thing. We can't do patience. Patience is something, it's that that gentle perseverance that sort of sinks into us and arises. Patience arises. And so the ultimate perfection of patience does not come from endurance or reevaluation of a situation. Rather, it comes from the absence of our habitual automatic triggers and reactive hooks to the challenges of life. Fully mature patience is effortless. It is not doing at all. And so, so it's not like this clenching our teeth, waiting until something is over. Right, aversion is still present. But the perfection of patience is a kind of deep contentment that arises, that sort of that we cultivate, a deep contentment that sinks in, and it's just effortless. And so, you know, dealing with all of these challenges that arise, it really just made me want to start wringing people's necks. And, you know, we can't control things that arise. You know, I have so many situations where patients just sort of, it was just a peaceful thing to do, is just to really say, oh, we'll see when that arises, when that manifests. It took a year. I just had my solar install in our house. We had to, because of the blackouts that we get here, it took a year of that process, and it was supposed to be just 3 months. So that was the one where it really kind of switched off. And I was like, oh, when it gets here. You know, it's not going to kill us to continue living the way that we have been. And now it's here, you know, and it was just that I saw that releasing. And so it's kind of an effortless contentment with how things are. So let's see, it's... 619. I think we can we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people. So I could sit out. Let's see how it works. But I would like to, we can do, let's do like let's just do 5 minutes, and we'll do pairs if we can, Stephen. Can we do that? Break out very, very quickly. We'll do 5 minutes before we close. And I just want to give you this prompt, just to have a little bit of connection with one another. Something challenging, just share about something challenging or difficult that you found contentment with, or that you've developed the skills to be with. Something challenging or difficult in your life, past, present, that you've found contentment with, that you've developed the skills just to be with. And so we'll spend a couple minutes each. You can do 2 minutes, maybe 2.5 minutes each. And we'll come back to the large group here, where I will be. And you can, if you want to opt out, you can also just hang out in the large space. Stephen, did you put me in a room? You're muted right now. Oh, there we are. Oh, I couldn't hear you.
Yes, you are, but we're going to take care of that right now.
Yay. So I should just stay here then?
Yeah, you can just stay there. We'll move Jacob to somewhere else.
Okay. Sweet. There, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it's been a bit. February was a busy month, but I was teaching a class at Zen Center, which ends tomorrow night, a class at CS, which ended last Wednesday, and then I just have one class left through
the. Oh, that's a little bit busy, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your class? I'm curious.
The one at Zen Center was creating sanctuary and safety through the use of the Dharma and the 12 steps of recovery. And the class at CIS, one was on addiction, the diagnosis and treatment of addictions. And the other one is on community mental health. So we train master's level psychotherapists. So how to do community practice versus private practice, basically.
Lovely. Oh, lovely. Oh, I wish I'd known about your one at the Zen Center. That might have been nice. I didn't know. So you work with recovery a lot?
Yeah. That's we have a group at Zen Center that's meditation and recovery that I've been sort of co-facilitating for probably, it's been around for 21 years now, but I've been co-facilitating probably for 10.
Wow.
And then in my own private practice as a therapist, that's mostly what I do, is work with folks with addiction and relapse issues.
Gotcha.
I have a private organization called the San Francisco Mindfulness Foundation, which does mindfulness-based relapse prevention. So.
Okay. Oh, well, now I know. Now I know we've got a resource. I had no idea. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Here or not.
Always happy to help out. Friends and friends of friends and family.
For sure. I mean, oh my gosh. The whole, people being, sort of separated and cooped up at the same time and all different levels and also different traumas and difficulties. Everybody's turning to their go-tos.
As the American Mental Health Counselor Association put out a report called The Perfect Storm. And it's COVID and racial injustice and the downturn of the economy and a year of being sheltered in place and what that's doing to people's mental health and need for services and the racial disparity and the whole shot. So,
yeah. Can you tell me what it was? What's it called again?
Yeah, I'll send you a copy after.
I would love that. Awesome.
So let's tell people they have.
You're gonna make it 6:24.
Okay, so we'll have 2 minutes left.
Awesome. Oh, wow.
That's what I need, a big cup of tea.
Yes, I usually drink green tea. I drink it every day, pretty much for half the day. But today I'm having black tea because I just needed it.
I have to try green tea again. I only tried it twice, and I didn't like it either time, but I'm told that I referred to my friend that made it for me that it tasted like a tatami mat. And he said, why do you know what one of those mats tastes like? I said,
that's a good question.
That smell of the grassy sort of smell that those mats have.
Sometimes it's a nutty, there's like a nutty flavor, or they'll mix it with a toasted brown rice or something like that. Yeah, I had to acquire it, but when I don't know, because I had to let go of caffeine, but I still wanted the process of my ritual. And I think it became a medicinal thing. And I noticed that, because I have like some forms of arthritis and inflammation and that sort of a thing. And it actually was very helpful for me. If I love the green. Hello, welcome back, everyone. Yay. but I developed a true taste for it. You can get really good green tea in Japantown.
Check it out.
There's a shop in the mall. And it does make a difference. It makes a difference, the quality of it.
Yeah, because the one I tried was not acceptable.
I gotcha.
We order ours from Japan now.
There you go. Yeah, it makes a huge difference. There's green tea like from different places, like Chinese green tea. It's just not the same. There's a process that is distinctly Japanese. They do everything in their traditional way, of course, and it's absolutely superior. So I would suggest Japanese green tea.
It was Stephen Tierney too.
That's hysterical.
So I think everybody's back. Oh, Stephen sent you the tea. Is that what was it? Stephen Tierney. I didn't get that. But anyway, welcome back, everyone. We only have a minute or two, so I'm hoping that reflection was beneficial. And I'm going to close with just a statement from Ajahn Chisito. I was reading his book on the perfections, and this is one thing that he had to say about the perfection of patience. The perfect patience has the soft and beautiful strength of having all the time in the world to rest in an experience. It relaxes the edge of time. The transformative power of patience is such that as the mind relaxes its defensiveness and bristling, the annoying delay becomes an occasion for spaciousness, and the other person's irritating behavior is something you can meet with empathy as their unfortunate problem. Naturally, it also includes the wisdom to know what one just has to bear with and when there is occasion to act in a clear and responsible way. And so I'm just going to leave it there. And
Syra, thank you so much, Syra. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate that. It certainly hit home for me.